Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that the Spirit knows us, and we thank you that apart from creating us, you also haven't left us in the dark about how to live. Thank you that you've given us wisdom to navigate life well, and to know how to be good stewards and ambassadors for your kingdom. We pray that you'll speak to us this morning. Pray that the Spirit reveal new truths to us and remind us of old truths as well. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want you to imagine yourself living in a society where every decision has been made for you already. You don't get to choose a job, who you marry, or even the person you want to be. From childhood, you're trained to enjoy exactly the things that you're conditioned to enjoy. And you're trained to avoid anything that might cause you to think or question your origins. So life is comfortable, it's predictable, and it's controlled. And it's like that because no one needs to wrestle with choices and responsibility and freedom. In fact, you can't wrestle with those things because they don't exist. But the scary part is that everyone seems to be really happy in this environment purely because they have been conditioned that way. If you know where I'm heading, I'm describing Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, where the future of everyone is so carefully engineered. It is a world where pain is eliminated, but so is everyone's life purpose. People are not raised, but they are conditioned. And their lives are not chosen, but they are assigned. It's a world where no one needs to think or to grow, because everyone, every decision has been made for them already. Many people are fascinated by this book precisely because they can't really imagine living in a world like this. Most of us would actually rather relationship over technology. And we actually want to find meaning and purpose for ourselves over the comfort of having everything set out for us precisely. And so thankfully for us, when we look at Proverbs, God actually hasn't designed a world where everything is programmed and preconditioned, has it? We have a God who is so rich and generous to us. And God gives us the freedom and responsibility to make different decisions. I mean, we make all sorts of decisions for ourselves about what job to take, where to live, who to marry, how to spend our money, and the list goes on and on. See, the God we know is not a tyrant. He's not the oppressive ruler who rules through fear. There are lots of Greek and Egyptian gods who are like that. But the God we have is a complete contrast to that. The God we have is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and rich in love. And so what he wants, God actually wants the very best for us. God wants us to live well in this world and be able to navigate our whole life under him with care. And this is where the book of Proverbs come in. Proverbs is a collection of sayings, a lot of them attributed to King Solomon, one of the wisest kings of all time. And him, along with other authors, well, he wants to impart wisdom to both the simple and the wise. When it was written, it was particularly aimed at young men as they seek to navigate a world that is, you know, quite new to them as well. And God's best advice to them and also to us today is to actually choose wisdom. Because when we learn to prize wisdom, wisdom will help us navigate life well in a complex world. Have a look at Proverbs 1:20. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. In the markets, she raises her voices. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the city gates, she speaks. And chapter 8 again. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in the front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. See, wisdom here is not hiding. Wisdom is not distant. But wisdom is more like the kid on the sidelines waiting to be picked. It's like the crowd on the Kiss Cam in a concert waiting to be noticed. See, in order for us to live well in a complex world, we need to seek wisdom and to value it highly. See, many of the decisions we face, they're not right and wrong choices, are they? And you kind of see that from the opening question. Oh, it's not so black and white that there is a clear answer, and that's where wisdom comes in. See, to ignore wisdom is to ignore living well, because wisdom shows us how the world works. Our God has woven wisdom into creation so that we can't actually do without it. And so for today's outline, I want to show you what wisdom is and also what wisdom isn't, so that you can place it rightly in your lives and to use it to navigate life well. So the first one is that wisdom begins with relationships, not rules. Wisdom begins with a relationship, not rules. And you see that in chapter 1 already. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. See, wisdom here, it doesn't begin with rules and formulas. But wisdom in verse 7, it begins with a person. See, before God gives any practical guidance, he tells us where wisdom actually starts. It starts in the heart, not in the hands. It starts in the relationship, not with rules. And this kind of cuts against the grain of the world we're living in, doesn't it? We live in a culture that loves rules and techniques. 10 steps to a perfect marriage. The one trick that will fix your anxiety. Or the formula for raising kids. The investment strategy that never fails. You know, all of these things work because we love shortcuts. It's efficient and simple enough that everyone can just follow it regardless of who you are. And there is a temptation that if we just follow the right steps, then we can guarantee the outcome. But Proverbs says that you can actually master every technique in the world and still be unwise if your heart is really far from God. And so it is possible to do all the right things in life and still be a fool. Because life is not mechanical, but relational. It flows from knowing God and fearing Him. This is how the theologian J.I. Packer connects our messy lives in relation to God. See, once you become aware that the main business you're here for is to know God, most of life's problems fall into place. Packer here is trying to help us get our order right. It is the who before the how. What it means is that a right understanding of God is crucial to becoming wise. If we don't fear God, no matter how much we get right, it kind of becomes worthless, doesn't it? And it's hard for us to hear because we like rules and techniques. We also like rules and techniques with our faith. You know, if I do this amount of quiet time, then I'm good with God. If I'm involved in this much ministry and kingdom work, then I have a healthy spiritual life. See, many of these things are good and godly things, and we should do them. But the moment we become pragmatic and technique-based, it's also the time when we need to be the most careful. The fear of the Lord is a beginning of wisdom. No hacks, no formulas, no techniques. Wisdom begins with knowing God and fearing Him. That's the first point. But say we've started developing this healthy fear. What does it actually look like when we're going about our daily lives? Does Proverbs tell us anything about that? Well, the second point we're going to see is that wisdom shapes also the means, just not just the ends. We often think that wisdom is about making the right decision. And so when we ask people for prayer, we would often ask people to pray for wisdom so that we'll find the right job, that we'll find the right spouse, the right uni degree. You see, deep down wide in us, we've become so outcome focused that the means also doesn't really matter. But right throughout the book of Proverbs, God actually cares more about who we are rather than what we actually desire. Have a look at some of these verses in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:3. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. 16:2. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Chapter 21. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. See, these verses are trying to show us that our motivations and our heart matters. And they sometimes matter even more than the outcome themselves. I don't know how you go about your decision-making, but when I need to make a key decision, I tend to go into decision overdrive. I will overthink and overanalyze my decisions to the point where I'm just going around in circles from where I started. Worse, I might catastrophize what might happen if that decision, what happens if that decision doesn't go to plan, and then blame myself for it. You might be like me, or you might be on the other side of the spectrum where you rush into your decisions just to get it out of the way. See, there is a stress in navigating life, isn't there? We don't want to make a bad decision because we don't want to stuff up our future. Choosing the wrong job means that we might get stuck there for a long time. Choosing the wrong place to live means we might lose out financially. You choose a bad partner and you're stuck with them for life. See, there are all these consequences to our decision-making that makes us just want to get things right. Wide in us is just that desire to produce the right outcome. But God doesn't just want decisions, but he wants our hearts. He wants us to be asking the right questions as we work out how to please him. Is taking this job going to give me more time for ministry and relationships? Will marrying this person enable us to serve and love God even more? Is this purchase going to impact my ability to give and to be generous? Do you see how wisdom is not just about the ends, but also the means? I met a wonderful Christian dad lately. He's got about 5 kids of his own. And just recently, his oldest son, who is at uni now, told him that he no longer wants to follow Jesus. My friend told me how sad and how heartbroken he was when his son told him the news. Because him and his wife, they've done everything and tried their hardest to just teach them the gospel and bring them to church since they were young. In fact, that was what they did for all 5 of their kids. And of course, he wanted all his kids to know and to love Jesus. But it is also about how he goes about his parenting as he trusts God in the different seasons. It's his prayerfulness in his kids' salvation. It's his loving discipline, even though the kids are not listening. And it was his resolve to keep modeling Christ for his family and everyone else around him. He was going to keep doing the same things he did because he believed that that was good and right. Now, that was partly due to the fact that he's not just concerned with the outcome. It's not to say that he doesn't doubt, but he's content with doing what he can, content with the means, and leaving the rest to God. And so as we go about navigating our own lives, see, God is just concerned about who you are as he is about the right outcome. He wants you to grow in your love and your obedience for him as you wrestle through the big decisions in your life. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but wisdom is also a whole of life thing. God's desire for us is to pursue that growth in our character and our godliness. That's the second point. Wisdom shapes the means not just the ends. And so you've seen that the outcome is not everything that God is concerned with. What it means that we can really take the pressure off ourselves in making that perfect decision. And that's where we're up to now. Final point. Wisdom actually rests in God's sovereignty and not in our perfection. See, God's sovereignty refers to God's rule over absolutely everything. There is nothing that exists in this world that is not under God's rule. Some people use the doctrine of God's sovereignty to say that they can just sit back and wait for God to act. Because if God is in control, then I don't need to do anything. But Proverbs give us just the right perspective about how we should look at our own agency. Look at Proverbs 16:9. The heart of a man plans his ways, but the Lord establishes his steps. God has given us a responsibility to plan and to think well, but God remains in control of the processes and the outcomes. One of the biggest decisions I've had to make was to give up my job and to go to Bible college. Many people think that the biggest sacrifice there pastors make when they decide to do that is their financial income. But for me at the time, the scariest thing wasn't so much that I wouldn't have enough money to live on, but the scariest thing for me was actually being different to everyone else. I wanted to work a more normal job. I wanted to be someone who could just fit in. And so at the time of making that decision to do ministry, I had to rest in God's sovereignty. I really had to trust that God knew what was best for me. Even though I couldn't see how it was all going to pan out, well, I had to trust that God had the bigger picture. And after looking back all of these years, I think I was right in putting my trust in Him. Because not only has He sustained me and my family, and God has gotten me to a point where I haven't had to look back at what I was doing before. See, God tells us in Romans 8:28 that for those who love God, all things work together for their good. Do you believe that? What's the next big thing or decision that is on your mind? If you're worried or anxious about that thing not going to plan, well, it is God's plan that will prevail. Even if the outcome is not what you desired in the first place, well, you can rest in the fact that God knows what He's doing. It might not save you from pain and disappointment, but it helps you to rest in His sovereignty. It means that we're not caught up in trying to make the perfect decision. Does it occur to you that we've been given this huge amount of freedom and agency in how we actually live for Jesus? Our God hasn't prescribed one good way, one identical way for us to all go about our business. But what He's given us is wisdom and the Spirit to try and make decisions that will glorify Him. And so we definitely need to do that. But we do it without trusting in our own decision making. You see, when we think that it is up to us to get everything right in our lives, then we're kind of setting up ourselves for failure. We'll be worried and anxious about our decision making. And if the outcome is not what we want, we will also be crushed by disappointment. A wise person knows that their planning and actions are really important. But they also know that these things are not the ultimate. They learn to rest in God's sovereignty and not in their own perfection. And so if we had to choose what type of world we wanted to live in, I'm sure none of us would choose a world that is programmed and preconditioned, because that would say something about the Creator that created it. But God in His goodness, He created a world of freedom and responsibility for us to thrive in. He hasn't left us in the dark because wisdom shows us how to navigate a complex world. We've seen that wisdom begins with a relationship because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not about getting wisdom just to make the perfect decision. because God also cares about who we are becoming. And we can rest in God's sovereignty, even when we're uncertain what lies ahead. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you're a generous and loving God who hasn't left us in the dark. We thank you for the value of wisdom and also the Holy Spirit whom you've given us so generously for us to live our lives well. Father, help us to make decisions that glorify you in our everyday, but to also not fret, be anxious that we're making the wrong choices for you. Thank you that you've got this world and this universe under your control. And thank you that you are King and that we can faithfully submit to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.